All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. Bobby Fenton with you as we get a Week 8 edition of the show going here. And the final game before the bye week of what is now an 18-week season sees the Bucks going up to New Orleans Halloween evening. This is one of the first things I noticed when the schedule came out. Bucks at Saints, Halloween in the French Quarter. It's a 4:25 kickoff, which is 3:25 local in New Orleans. So the game will be getting out. The Superdome will be just people flooding out of it right around 6:45, 7 o'clock local time on Halloween evening in the French Quarter. And I'm not going to be there. I've always wanted to go. I've never been to a Bucks game in New Orleans. I've been to New Orleans many times. Yeah, I've been to the Superdome before, but I've never seen the Bucks play at the Superdome. And it just didn't work out this year. But if you were going to go, this would be the year to try and do that. Should be a lot of fun up there, and hopefully even more fun because we hope the Bucks come away with another victory, as they got one this past week to move to 6-1 for the first time in franchise history. All those times they've had a few 5-0 starts or 5-1 starts, never been 6-1 through everything else that's happened, and they were able to do that with their win over Chicago this past Sunday, which we'll talk a little bit about too, 38-3, the final there. And, honestly, I have to catch myself because on Sunday I kind of started watching the game, and you look forward to the game all weekend, you plan your day around and everything. All right, Bucks game 4:25, then it comes up, and it ends up being kind of boring because the Bucks are just so dominant, and people say, I'm never bored watching the Bucks dominate. I was a little bored Sunday. And like I'm saying, I have to catch myself because I can't believe I would even think to complain about it. But I was like, okay, this just kind of play out the string here. Because it was like watching one of those college games where you play an FCS team. Although even, the Gators this year could probably have trouble with one of those too. But it's like that. Yeah, I'm not going to make any FSU jokes about Jacksonville State either. But just total domination on Sunday as the Bucks toyed with the Bears. Could have been much worse. They had 35 points by halftime, only kicked a field goal in the second half. But either way, I do not think that will be the case this weekend. And so we'll talk all about this. This is a tough matchup in general. Of course, there's the added side story of having Jameis Winston being the opposing starting cornerback and the first time the Bucks have faced him as a starter. I know they played the Saints last year when Jameis didn't have as much of a role. So a lot of interesting things going on this week, and we are going to get to it all. The free stretch, like it always is, brought to you by our good friends at BillCurryFord.com. If you're looking for a brand new vehicle, whether it's a car, a truck, or a van, whether it's a used or pre-owned car, truck, or van, it doesn't have to be brand new. It doesn't have to necessarily be a Ford, even though it's Bill Curry Ford. They have everything over there. Go check them out. The first thing I would do, no matter what your plans are, is to go on the website. So go to BillCurryFord.com. It's C-U-R-R-I-E is how they spell it. BillCurryFord.com. There you can get a feel for the inventory, see everything they've got. They've got the transparent online, no haggle pricing. It's all right there for you. And then you can go down to the lot, the actual showroom, which is beautiful, right there on Dale Mabry, just a little bit north of Hillsboro, about a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, and check them out there. Go look for Sean Sullivan, my good friend and good friend of the free stretch. And they will take good care of you over there. And whatever you get, nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty, you're covered for engine trouble after you buy a car from Bill Curry Ford, as long as you own the car. That right there alone makes it worth it, let alone all the other things that come with it. 10 years roadside assistance, free service the first year with oil changes and all that. It's all taken care of. So check them out, BillCurryFord.com, or go to the spot in person a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. Thanks to them. Thanks to the Joes for having me on here, as always. I appreciate the chance to get in front of you on the single best place for Bucks coverage anywhere. So, real quick look back at the Chicago game before we get to the Saints game on Sunday. And like I said, the Buccaneers haven't faced the toughest competition in the world the past few weeks. Obviously, Chicago and a rookie quarterback, not great. The Dolphins, not great. They do, though, have a lot to show for it, especially defensively. The last four games now, the Bucs are second in the NFL out of all teams in total defense. They're second in scoring defense. They're first against the run. They're second best on defending third downs. Tied for first in sacks. Tied for second in takeaways. And so this is with all the injuries they have. Things are just humming. And watching that game on Sunday, and the usual stuff, watching Brady hit Mike Evans at will, watching the offense just move the ball downfield at will, I know I say this all the time, but it's going to be weird. It's weird now after being used to what we were used to for so long to see all this happening, and it'll be weird again to go back. It doesn't matter how used to something you get. The minute it changes, that's the funny part. Like, you could watch 15 years, and for some of you it's even longer, but you could watch, you know, decades of bad football, mediocre football, uninspired football, and then it turns around in like a year or two, and you can't even remember what that was like. And so just as quickly when it turns around again, I hope that's not anytime soon, it'll be easy to forget what this was like, but really savor this, because, I mean, it's spectacular right now. And the Bucs are just, you know, watching Tom Brady, we're going to talk about the whole Jameis Winston-Tom Brady dynamic, because anybody who's listened to this show knows, if you've been listening to it for a while, I never really considered Tom Brady a possibility for the Bucs, even when there was those first murmurs about it, you know, way back when, before, you know, whatever, I guess the 2019 offseason. But up until then, and all the shows are archived, I mean, I can go back and listen to them, I think you can too, all right? I was always a pretty ardent defender of Jameis Winston. And I tried to caution everybody. I tried to talk everybody into being more patient. I tried to point out the many good qualities he has as a, I was just talking about on the field now, the many good qualities he has as a quarterback. You know, a lot of people are just completely out on Jameis, or were just completely out on Jameis after, you know, this interception or that interception or, you know, whatever it might be. Everybody had a breaking point. There were plenty of interceptions to go around. And everybody might have had their own individual one where they said, you know what, I can't do this anymore. And I kept saying, yeah, I know the yards, or I know the interceptions are bad. I know that, you know, it's all bad, but you got to look at the other side too. He's throwing for more yards, more TDs than anybody. You know, those things have to be considered. I remember drawing an analogy to lifting weights and trying to put on muscle, and how to gain muscle when you're lifting weights, it's not just lifting weights you have to do. You have to eat a lot. And that's the building block of the muscle. And sometimes when you build that initial muscle, your body fat goes up too, because you're eating more calories and you're just trying to give your body what it needs to grow muscle. And then after you grow the muscle, it's there. It's not going anywhere. And now you got to work to cut fat. Now, I kind of made that comparison with Jameis. I said, I think we can get him to the point. Right now we're bulking, you know. We're getting a lot of calories, a lot of touchdowns, a lot of yards. We're also getting a lot of body fat, which would be the interceptions, I said. And I said, now we can keep the muscle. We can keep the touchdowns, we can keep the yards. Now we're going to trim fat, get those interceptions down. And so, you know, I was, again, never really thinking, even when Tom Brady's name came up, I said, that doesn't happen to us. We got to make a decision on Jameis, blah, blah, blah. Now, when it came time and it became actually real about Brady, you know, I was all for that, obviously. I didn't say no. You can't say no to that. But even I was skeptical. I said, well, you know, at his age, I mean, you hope he can give you something, you know, even close to what he's been in the past, and, you know, it can go bad quick. I think I said it was like a carton of sour milk that, like, it's in your fridge, and it smells okay, and then one day, boom, it just goes bad. And I was like, you know, what if that happens with Brady? We don't know. But I said it was a chance worth taking. So now here we are, and Tom Brady honestly looks, and the NFL's not the same as it has been his entire career, so obviously yards and touchdowns have been going up for some time now and continue to. But nevertheless, even with that considered, okay, this is as good as he has ever looked. And he's got a surrounding cast around him that's as good as any that he has ever had. And the whole thing's mind-boggling. Like, every week that goes by, it's easy to stop and just take it for granted, but you have to really pull back and say, what in the hell are we watching here in Tampa? Just the little things, like this week, Bucks at Saints, okay? 4:25 again, because we don't play at 1 o'clock anymore, barely ever. And it's going to be the number one broadcast crew, although Joe Buck is doing the World Series, so it's Joe Davis along with Troy Aikman, but it's the number one Fox crew, just like it was Nance and Romo last week. I mean, the Bears are terrible, okay? Why would CBS, why would we ever get the number one broadcast crew? Like, that used to be a once every 3, 4, maybe 5 year thing in Tampa, and mainly it was based on the opponent. But it's just a matter of course now. National TV, primetime, regular, even Sunday at 1, still get the number one broadcast crew. These are the salad days, baby. And same thing again this week. It'll be the number one crew there when the Bucs go to the Saints. They're a 5.5-point favorite for the 4:25 kickoff. But just looking at, again, the whole Jameis versus Brady thing, I mean, it's so obviously easy to say now, oh my God, you know, like, look at the upgrade the Bucks underwent here, just one guy. And it's more than one guy because the whole team's been different, even with the same people just playing better. But I never really, even when Jameis threw that last pick six against Atlanta a couple years ago in overtime, the final play of his Bucks career, I never really thought the choice was about anything other than just, okay, let's still evaluate this soberly. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's not get too emotional. Can we make a go of Jameis Winston at quarterback? I mean, right up to the end, I was still on that train. A lot of you jumped off it a long time ago. And, of course, now looking back, it seems quaint. But Jameis actually hasn't been bad this year. What they are doing with him, and, you know, it's different because the Bucs were behind a lot and they were in shootouts a lot and, you know, Jameis had to throw it a ton. Jameis is not throwing the ball in general nearly as much as he did, and that's one way to limit his turnovers. And this season, he has actually had, of the six games, he has had four of those games with zero interceptions. Now, in his full seasons in Tampa, where he'd start 16 games, he would have, you know, about that number. In 16 games, he'd have four, maybe five games with zero picks. I'm not even talking total number of picks now. I'm just talking about interception-free games out of 16. And he's already done that four times in just six games with the Saints. And, you know, there's no – I mean, Sean Payton knows what he has to do. But, you know, one of the things I always like to say, because I was watching that Seattle game Monday night, and the Saints are coming off a short week, having played in Seattle on Monday in the rain. You know, one of the ways you judge a quarterback, of course, is, you know, what's it like to root for him? What's it like having him on your side? How do you feel when he drops back? I talked about that last week. When Tom Brady drops back and sticks that back foot in the ground and cocks his arm, it's like a feeling of pure adrenaline now. Like, you're like, oh, hell yes. I can't wait to see what's going to happen. Because you know it, whatever it is, you're loving it. You know, the bad quarterbacks, you kind of go, oh, you know, I'm a little worried here. What's going to happen? I don't know where this is going. But another measure of a quarterback to me, at least as a fan, is how does it feel when you're rooting against that player? Because the really good ones scare the hell out of you, right? Like, the really good ones, you're like, oh, my God. You know something bad's about to happen when you're rooting against that guy. And watching the game Monday night, I wasn't rooting that hard. I'm in a picks league with some friends where we pick all the NFL games every week against the spread. And, you know, the weekly winner gets a certain amount of money, and then we keep track of the season total for an even bigger amount of money. And it's something I've been doing for years. Point is, I didn't bet on the game specifically on Monday, but I had Seahawks plus five in that game, so I needed that outcome for my pool, whatever. Point is, watching that game, never once feeling nervous. Like, again, the rain was part of it, so I don't want to blame Jameis for everything. He didn't play badly or anything like that. But just didn't strike any fear whatsoever in me. None. Watching him from the opposing side. And so that, to me, tells you something. And conditions will be much more ideal inside the Superdome on Sunday than they were out in Seattle in the rain at night on Monday. But still, like, you know, when you get down to this matchup, and I think it could be a close game now, I'll tell you why. There's a few things we'll get into here in a little bit, but when you get into this matchup with the Saints, at the end of the day, I remember all those games over the years with Drew Brees, and it wasn't just Drew Brees, the whole Saints team, but with Drew Brees at the helm. And going into the Superdome felt like a really, really tall order. I mean, I felt, oh my God, you know, I just have to, even last year with Brady, all right, week one, remember that? Brady's first game as a Buck. I thought the Bucks could win. I was hopeful, but in no way was I, like, optimistic. I was like, and this was no fans either last year. And I was like, you know, it's tough to go on the road and beat Brees and the Saints in the Dome, no matter who you are, no matter fans or no fans. You know, we didn't know anything about Brady at that point yet as far as what he was going to be like with the Bucks. And even then, I was just, you know, if we win, it's a bonus. If we lose, no big deal. And they did lose, and it wasn't a big deal, and they ended up going up there and winning in the playoffs and winning the Super Bowl. But, man, this week, I'm like, hell yeah, Bucks at Saints, let's go. Like, I feel great about it. And that doesn't mean the Bucks are going to win. The Bucks could very easily lose the game. The Saints are a good team. You know, aside from not having the quarterback level of play they've had over the past decade or so, if you look at DVOA overall, and if you don't know what DVOA is, I encourage you to look it up. It's a very, very bread-and-butter statistic, just a measure of overall performance for all NFL teams. Bucks are fourth overall in DVOA. Saints are seventh, so Saints are a top-10 team there. Offensively, the Bucks are, of course, number one. The Saints' offensive DOA ranks them 20th, so not as good there. But the Saints' defense is formidable, okay? The Bucs are 7th in defensive DVOA, and the Bucs are 7th. The Saints are 3rd. Saints are number 2 against the rush, while the Bucs are number 4 against the rush. That would tell me you can expect a lot of passing on Sunday, because both teams defend the run pretty well. And, of course, when you look at the Bucs' situation at corner, and as far as injuries go, nothing's really changing in the secondary. It looks like Jamel Dean, you know, he got hurt against Chicago. He should be okay. But Sean Murphy Bunting is wearing an elbow brace. He was out at practice this week, like, running around. His legs are fine, but still not returning, you know, anytime before the bye week, which we only have one game left before the bye week. Same thing goes for Carlton Davis. You can rule those guys out. D. Delaney is one that was questionable. I mean, the Bucs got down on Sunday, and the game was out of hand, and it didn't matter as much, but they got down to Rashad Robinson. That's number 7 on the cornerback list with all the injuries they've had after Dean got hurt and D. Delaney hurt his ankle. So, you know, beyond Pierre Desir, all these guys, I mean, they're getting down to it. Now, that doesn't scare you as much with this Saints game, but we've seen lesser quarterbacks than Jameis, you know, have some success against the Bucs secondary, especially after all the injuries. So it's a concern. Saints have a very decent pass rush. And if you look at the, you know, overall just matchup between the Bucs and the Saints, and here's some numbers for Jameis, and these are courtesy of Dr. Bob Stoll, who always has some good numbers. I follow him on Twitter. If you just search Dr. Bob NFL, it'll come up. Jameis is 5 of 21 this season on deep passes, okay? That's only 24%. His last season as a starter is 2019 with the Bucs. That season, he was 40% on deep passes. And deep passes are defined as passes with at least 20 air yards. So, like, if you throw the ball 10 yards and the guy runs 70 more, that's not a deep pass. If the ball travels 20 yards in the air or more, it's considered a deep pass. Jameis only 5 of 21 this season on those. But, you know, that probably would regress positively to the mean over the course of a longer season. So you look at that. You look at the offensive line play when the Bucs have the ball and with Brady, and let me talk about, before I get back to the Saints game, let me talk about that with the Bears game this week. Because the offensive line play, and the Bears are not a good team, but their pass rush ain't exactly a slouch, and Khalil Mack ain't exactly a slouch. Tristan Wirfs, Brian Baldinger tweeted it, he threw a no-no. No pressures, no sacks, no penalties, no anything. Like, Khalil Mack was not a factor. He had one tackle in the game. And the entire offensive line as a whole, Tom Brady dropped back 39 times against the Bears, okay? He got physically contacted one time. So not even sacked, just literally 39 dropbacks, he took contact one time, okay? That's nearly a perfect game from the offensive line. As a unit, they have been unbelievable. Individually, Tristan Wirfs, it still blows my mind. Like, sometimes I'll be sitting and spacing out on the couch, or maybe just sitting, you know, in the pickup line at school, on my bike, waiting to get my kids and bring them home. And I'll space out for a minute or two just waiting, and I'll think about how we needed, more than anything, a couple years ago in the draft, we needed help at tackle, and how there were all these teams in front of us that also needed help at tackle, and that even with all those teams in front of us also needing a tackle, we still got the one that you would have wanted if you got first choice of all of them. How in the hell, and there's been varying degrees of success with the other guys, Jedrick Willis, there's a few other, the guy from Louisville, I forget his name, they've had varying levels of success, whatever. How in the hell did we get Wirfs? It wasn't like, okay, we drafted a lineman when everyone else was drafting receivers or quarterbacks or whatever. There was 4 other teams that needed the exact thing we needed. And like I said, you know, even before the draft, I was like, oh, yeah, Wirfs, but I doubt it'll be him because he'll be one of the first ones. And they took all the other guys before Wirfs. And then we get Wirfs, and he's probably the best. He's one of the best, if not the best, tackles in football. He might be the best offensive lineman. He's one of the top 10 offensive linemen, for sure, in all of football. And he just drops into our lap. And, yeah, we traded up one spot to get him, which I remember saying at the time. Remember they made that trade to move up one spot just so somebody else wouldn't trade up instead because the team, I think 49ers, that we traded with wasn't going to draft him. But they got us to believe somebody may trade up ahead of us and get him instead. But, hey, we'll trade with you and let you have the pick if you want. And we gave him a 4th rounder. And I said, look, whatever, you can analyze this stuff to death, but if Tristan Wirfs is good, nothing else will matter. Well, he's really good. I mean, just completely handled Khalil Mack. And yeah, a little bit of a rough time with him last year in that game. What was that, Thursday night game, I think it was last year? The one where Brady thought it was third down and it was fourth down. And he had been, you know, the schedule formula had us playing the Bears again this year. And Worf said, he's like, yeah, I was very much looking forward to getting that second chance to go back up against one of the best. And he was very classy about it. He didn't talk any trash. But the reports about him in the press conference afterward, what a big grin he had on his face. And he should. He just completely neutralized that guy. And Khalil Mack, like I said, the Bears aren't great, but up front they ain't bad, especially with Khalil Mack. And the Bucs offensive line just completely, I mean, we talk about Brady a lot, deservedly, all right, but the Bucs offensive line, to have an offensive line that good is such a luxury, and to just, again, be able to not even think twice about it. And it's not just the blocking, it's the lack of penalties, the lack of dumb stuff. They just we don't beat ourselves, and they just consistently keep a quarterback who doesn't need to be taking any hits at his age. I don't care how much pliability, you know, and Brady's good at knowing how to get the ball out and where and quickly, but he also has the luxury of that offensive line keeping him clean, and it's a sight to behold, man. So that needs to be said, too. Now, this Saints pass rush, with that said, it's been a little off the pace. Last season, they had a sack rate of 7%, which was 7th in the NFL. This year, they're only at 5.4%. That's 22nd. That's just sack rate. That's not just pressures and things like that. But they are getting a few people back, or just now getting a few people back, like Marcus Davenport. He was out the first few games, but he was back this past week. David Onyemata is going to be back. He had a 6-game suspension, so he'll be back this week. He was pretty good in pass rushing last season. So they'll get better and better as the season goes on, and maybe they'll start getting better on Sunday. So it's not going to be as easy of a matchup. Not that Chicago is easy, but from a pass rushing standpoint, it'll be a little bit tougher. And it will also hurt that Antonio Brown looks like he is out. That's another one I didn't mention. Antonio Brown had he was on one crutch at practice. I don't think you're going to see him. Well, you're definitely going to see him this week. Then there's the bye week after that. Who knows? But you can pretty much count him out. So that's okay with a team like the Bucs, who have guys like Mike Evans, guys like Chris Godwin. It'd be nice if Scotty Miller was back. He's still fighting back from the turf toe. Mike Evans in the past has not had as much success against the Saints as he had against other NFC South teams, which would be basically the Panthers and the Falcons. But, you know, he'll have his thing with Lattimore like they've always had going on, and Lattimore's pretty good too. So, you know, it's going to be a little bit tough. Lattimore has 12 forced incompletions. That not only leads the league, it's 5 more than any other cornerback. And Mike Evans, you know, didn't do a ton against them last year. So as far as other, like, just betting trends, which I always like to point out when they're available, and Dr. Bob did put one up this week that he doesn't describe this one, though. He just says, the Bucs apply to a 46-115-2 against the spread road favorite situation. That means the Bucs are in a certain situation that in the past other road favorites have been in regarding, you know, whatever the spread and whatever, you know, leading up to the game, where teams in that situation in the past are 46-115 in that same situation. That's against the spread. Bucs are favored by 5.5. So this doesn't mean any. I remember a couple weeks ago there was a situation where the Dolphins were in a really, really positive, like, betting situation against the spread, against the Bucs, and the Bucs just absolutely wiped the floor with them, and it was a foregone conclusion by, like, the second quarter. And so, you know, you can make the numbers look silly if you're good enough, but just something to keep in mind. Under Sean Payton, the Saints are 11-2-1 against the spread when they're a home underdog of 2 points or more. It's a situation they don't find themselves in very often, obviously. But just something to keep an eye on this weekend. If you want to email me, I love hearing from you guys. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. It's BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com on Twitter. You can get me at BobbyGameDay. And as always, I love hearing from all of you. Looking ahead to tonight, I know a lot of you guys listen to this show, you know, Friday, maybe even Saturday. So the Thursday night game has already happened by the time you listen to the show. But looking ahead, as of right now, on Thursday when I'm recording this, it's the Packers at the Cardinals tonight. Devontae Adams looking like he's out for the Packers. I think DeAndre Hopkins is going to play for the Cardinals. I'll tell you what, just my thoughts, and you can always check back because you, again, are listening to this probably after the game has happened. It seems like a good year for road underdogs. Road underdogs against the spread are 36-27 so far. So anytime the road team's getting a decent amount of points, and with Devontae Adams being out for the Packers, it's up to like almost 6 points. It's 5.5 or 6, almost a touchdown. I'm still sticking with Green Bay. I'll take the points in that one. But it's just nice to have two, you know, teams combined with either one loss or no loss. This is a really good Thursday night matchup. And let's hope the actual game lives up to the two records of the teams. All the primetime games have been good so far. Almost all of them. And even Seattle, New Orleans, which wasn't like a Picasso or anything like that. It was still a close, tight game that had drama on Monday night. We've had a lot of primetime success this season. It's been really nice. And I'll tell you what, this is another thing that I just realized today. Somebody tweeted this out. I retweeted it on my Twitter account. But today, and today being Thursday, now again, you might be listening to this on a different day. Today is the first of a run of 28 straight days where there is football of some kind on national television every single day or night or both. So, you know, now we're getting to that part of the year where they start to do a couple MAC games. It's not always great games. I'm not saying, you know, that's, I don't always watch a game just because it's on, but I often do. And either way, if you're looking, especially if you're, you know, like to put a few bucks on it just to make it interesting, 28 straight days in a row, there's football of some sort starting today. And so enjoy all that. I enjoyed the Monday night game this past week just because of the Manning cast. And I go back and forth, but I like seeing Brady on there, his conversations with Peyton and Eli, but Peyton especially. I mean, the Manning cast, which I think I saw some numbers today that they're getting about 15% of the Monday night audience is watching the Mannings on ESPN2, which I actually thought was low. I was surprised. I thought that number would be higher. But I love, like, just having the game on in the background and just having people talk, because it's kind of like the same way you watch games with your friends, and that's what I like about the Manning cast. That and, of course, Peyton just throwing out football stuff, just little, he'll be like, oh, the nickel's coming, you know, little things he spots before the play, which is kind of like what Tony Romo does. But it really is a cool format. I feel a little bit for the Monday night regular guys with Steve Levy and Louis Riddick and Brian Griese. I know a lot of people say they're boring or this or that. I'm going to go to the Mannings. But, you know, it really is a much different job. Like, the Mannings don't have to call the game. They just have to be themselves and talk while the game's going on and bring in guests like Tom Brady, who was on with them on Monday, who it was a good half hour he was on there. It was really entertaining to listen to them go back and forth. But they don't have to announce every single guy who touches the ball. They don't have to stop for a penalty announcement. They don't have to identify things happening. They don't have to do any of that bread and butter, like nuts and bolts stuff that broadcasters have to do. So it's a much different job. It's a little bit unfair to the regular guys. But yet, good TV is good TV. So you're either entertained or you're not. And at the end of the day, this is all entertainment. And I find myself going over to the Manning cast quite a bit during the games, especially once the game gets going, after the initial introductions and things like that. And, you know, I know they don't want to do it every week because they don't want to take away from their main broadcast, but it is a pretty nice format. And they've been the same thing with the, you know, the college national championship game. ESPN has the coaches room where they got like four or five coaches in there who aren't coaching in the game doing their, they all these different formats. There's a lot of different ways to go about it, but either way, it's nice. I'm already thinking ahead, and then the Lightning play tonight too, and the World Series is off tonight. Then it gets back going over the weekend. But like I always say, nothing puts a hop in your step like football does. You know, when I know there's a football game, and I love all the sports. I'm a, you know, huge hockey fan, huge baseball fan, all that stuff. But you know what? There's only one sport that I watch regular season games that don't involve my favorite team. I love baseball, but I don't really watch any regular season baseball except the Rays. I watch a bunch of the Rays games. But nah, I'm not going to watch a random, you know, Pirates-Cardinals game in the regular season. I don't do that. Same with hockey. I love hockey. I'm not going to sit there and watch, you know, Avalanche-Oilers in the regular season. I watch almost every Lightning game, but just my teams. But football, college, pro, it could be the Bucks, the Gators. Of course, I watch every minute of those games, but it doesn't matter what it is. I'm watching them all. Football is the only sport that does that. So let's enjoy this run of 28 straight days. And, you know, we're really getting into the, you know, I keep saying this every week, but we're really in the teeth of the best time of year right now. Halloween weekend. Oh, let me say something about Halloween weekend, okay? Everybody, take advantage of the Sunday Halloween. We had Saturday last year. It was great. Sunday this year, you're going to get a chance to watch the Bucks game. If you have kids, especially younger ones like I do, I got a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old, the trick-or-treating thing is going to take a little bit of a backseat to that. But the beauty of it is the game should still be over pretty early. I mean, it gets dark now early enough where you can start trick-or-treating at like 5, 5:30, 6 o'clock. And it doesn't have to be dark to trick-or-treat, of course, especially on a weekend. But, you know, the Buck game will probably go till closer to 7:30, 8 o'clock. You know, take turns or something. Let one spouse go out there. I'm not going to say, oh, the husband watches football because wives like football too. You know, do a quick lap around the neighborhood with, you know, then switch off. And we should be able to get everything done happily, healthily, and safely. But it's always fun when Halloween falls on a weekend. And this is the first time in a while I can remember. I remember the last time the Bucks played on Halloween, especially late in the evening. I don't think they've ever played late in the evening on Halloween. But it should be another little dynamic. And what I encourage, and you know I do this for the big games because I've talked about this before on the show. I love the extra little bit of energy you get from watching a game outside. Like whenever you can get it set up in your driveway or something, or if some people have patios in the back by the pool with TVs, and those are great too. But this is a great chance to set up your table out front, put the candy out, have people coming into your driveway, and just put the game on a TV right there and sit out front. The weather is going to be gorgeous on Sunday. We got the frontal boundary rolling through right now as we speak here at One Game Day Place, so it's a little rainy, a little windy, but that's going to be followed by that cool air, and it's going to last through the weekend. So run some extension cord, okay? Go get a little extra coax from Lowe's or Home Depot. It's easy to do, and then set the TV up outside, have it there in the driveway. Your place will be ground zero for all Halloween activity in your neighborhood. Everybody's going to want to be at your house. Everybody's going to be in your driveway. They might not even trick-or-treat and walk around. They all just might hang out, have some candy out there. These are those times in life when you get to have fun with stuff, and that's really what life's all about. So this is a great weekend for all that. I'm really excited. It's going to be a lot of fun on Sunday. But whatever you do, like I said, just have fun, stay safe, and hopefully we'll get back here next week for the bye week talking about a 7-1 Buccaneer football team. Either way, I want to thank our good friends at Bill Curry Ford for sponsoring the show. I want to thank, of course, the Joes for giving me this platform. As always, I'm incredibly grateful for that and privileged to get to be in front of all of you. Thanks to you for listening. Again, email me, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. If you want to, on Twitter, you can go back and forth with me or follow at BobbyGameDay. I'll be back next week. In the meantime, have a great weekend. Florida, Georgia, Lightning Hockey, World Series, Bucks, the whole thing is happening. Be safe, have fun, and wherever you are, happy Halloween, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.